We'll commence our meeting tonight by turning to a chorus. So we'll begin with this: Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. I guess we know this very, very well, so we'll stand together as we sing and then remain standing for our opening hymn as well. So let's stand as we sing, Jesus' love is very wonderful. Mandatory that all of you should participate in the actions, but I looked around me and thought some of these people won't be quite used to doing these actions, so we'll not embarrass everybody, but some of you did join in, so that was good. 332 is the hymn. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's sound it out as we sing, please.
Thank you.
getting into that one, and some people more than others. Let's bow together in prayer and commit our way unto the Lord tonight. Our Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank Thee that we're found again in Thy presence. And we come to the One who is the great Creator. Everything that we see around us with the naked eye, much of what we cannot possibly see, even by use of all of man's inventions, out there in the vast and far reaches of our universe, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought it all into being by the word of Thy power. We praise Thee, Lord, for the utterances of God that consecutively on those 6 24-hour days Thou didst bring into existence everything that there is. We thank Thee that the great Creator became my Saviour and shed His life blood on Calvary. Lord, to Thee we owe everything tonight on account of that great atoning sacrifice. We rejoice in Christ. We thank Thee for all that He has done, for everything that He means to us, for all of the accomplishments of that cross, and for the determination, that burning passion within His heart, that no matter what obstacle would be thrown across His path, that He has set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. We remember how in Scripture that He said that He had a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished. And so we rejoice that no matter about all of the machinations of the devil, every plan and scheme that he invented, every ploy that he brought near and put into the hearts and minds of man to try and disrupt God's eternal plan, we rejoice that our Savior finished the work, that He perfected everything, that there was nothing that He had left undone. Every I was dotted, every T was stroked. Everything that had been determined in eternity past was accomplished in time and done so by the mighty power of our sovereign God. And so we rejoice that even last week we were considering how that resurrection of Christ, being the great rock on which the church is built, we know that all of our doctrine is built upon the risen Lord Jesus, the vicarious death, the risen and victorious life. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can tonight, as we come before Thee, rejoice in serving a risen Savior. We're not those that are devotees of some god or leader that is still in his grave, mouldering away, lost to time and to history. But we thank Thee for that great evidence that is backing up the claim of the risen Lord Jesus. How those regular and repeated appearances in that 40 days after He rose from the dead to many eyes in different circumstances, at different times of the day. We thank Thee, Lord, for all of that testimony that comes forward to assure us our Lord is alive. We think of Him as well that brings it to a very personal level. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And Father, we thank Thee for all that can say that tonight from the depths of their soul, that they know Christ because they have that experiential knowledge of Him. They know what it is on a day-to-day basis to be communing with Him as they open the Word of God and feed on the book that Thou hast given, the revelation of Thy mind and Thy plan for us, and how even in that children's chorus, as I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. And Father, we pray that it shall be a living word unto all who are gathered here tonight. It will be a speaking book that assures us, if we have an interest in Christ, of that interest we have. That warns us, if we don't have an interest, that we should kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His anger is kindled but a little. And so we pray that we will, if we're not in Christ tonight, we will run and lay hold upon the hope that has led before us in the gospel and find refuge in Him. We thank Thee, Lord, for those that are gathered here tonight. We ask for Thy blessing upon them, that Thou wilt anoint our hearing that we shall be hearing what is appropriate for us at this moment in time, that the Word of God will come with power and with much assurance onto our hearts tonight, that we shall be those who are not merely just sermon tasters, but want to be those who will put into practice in our daily lives, let the rubber hit the road as far as practical Christian living is concerned, that we might make an impact in the community among which thou hast placed us. So bless our brother Moreland as he comes with thy word tonight. Bless all others in the college that will take part in this service. We thank thee for them, for their desires for thee, their love and devotion to Christ, their determination and dedication to thy will and plan for their lives. And we pray that thou wilt bless them abundantly and immeasurably as they will go forward according to thy will. Thou hast said, I will guide thee with mine eye. And Lord, in a world that is packed full of confusion, we need that kind of precise guidance. And we pray that that will be given to all in the building tonight. Be with us now. Be with the children and the young people, the families they represent. And may they know thy touch upon them, all who were ill tonight. May they know thy healing balm, or may they know thy grace that will help them endure in the field of affliction, in our Saviour's precious and all-victorious name, we ask these things. Amen. We're going to turn now to our second hymn, which is, again, very well known, 311 in the book. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We'll stand, and as we do stand, the children will be leaving for the Sunday school. Some of the older ones, they'll be staying on. Yes? Okay, that'll be the format. Let's stand together, please, then, as we sing. Yeah. Going to ask at this stage of our meeting our brother Mr. Bannatyne to come forward and to make a few announcements. Thank you.
Well, we do welcome you all this evening, and we are delighted that Crown College is here to take the meeting tonight. And we do wish them all the best. They'll also be taking the Young People's Rally afterwards. And all young people, of course, are most welcome for that rally that will be in Jubilee Church. I'll keep the announcements brief. The offering tonight, it will be split between the college and the martyrs, and the greater part will go to the college, I can assure you. So remember the offering, the exits, on the exits, the boxes are on the wall. Do remember that, please. Tuesday, God willing, will be the outreach at 10 a.m. Wednesday, Senior Citizens Fellowship meeting, light refreshment served, and that's 11 o'clock to 12:30. Wednesday, Bible study and prayer time at 8 o'clock. Thursday, parents and toddlers, 10:30 to noon. Remember those meetings, please. And then Friday, the Young People's Fellowship at 8 o'clock, the men's prayer meeting at 9 o'clock. excuse me. Don't forget, we all know that the King's Coronation is coming up, and we're going to have a special night, hopefully in the grounds of the church. That's Thursday, the 4th of May at 7 p.m., when there'll be a barbecue and games and other things happening. We did this for the Queen's last year, and we will be doing this for the King's Coronation. So please remember that and come along and enjoy that time with us. There's a youth prayer service in Carriedough Free Presbyterian Church this Saturday at 8 p.m. That's the 22nd of April. There's various singers. I'm not sure one of the names was cut off. I think it's some Kennedy, but I can't remember who it is at the start of that, whether it's Miss or Mrs. And then there's a wee group. I'm not sure who they are. Abigail McGill. We know who Abigail is. And Matthew. They're all singing. And our brother Phil Harton is the preacher. So please keep that in mind, and if you're free, they'll be glad to see you. Thank you indeed.
Thank you, brother, for making those announcements. And I'd like to, at this stage in the service, welcome all the staff and students of the Crown College UK. You're very welcome here tonight. Some of you have been here before, if not many of you. And if it is your first time, then a special welcome to you. They will be taking part in the remainder of the service. I deliberately don't know what the rest of the format of the meeting is, so I'm leaving it to Pastor Derek Moreland to lead that and to let you know what will be happening. But our brother has been here before, preached several times here, will be preaching at this meeting and then the meeting after. I assume you are? Yes. He was preparing in the background anyway, so he clearly has a couple of messages on the go there. He'll be preaching at the youth rally too. He's very welcome back in the pulpit here in Martyrs, and we pray the Lord will bless him greatly as he ministers to us now.
Good evening to you all, and thank you again for the very warm welcome. It's always a privilege and a delight to be with you here at the Martyrs. And we're thankful for your pastor and his kind words and his warm invitation and welcome every time we come. I'm going to go ahead and invite the students to come along and take your place. And we have a mixed congregation of students this term. They come from a couple of different nationalities. Of course, our usual American contingency. And then we have some English students, a Welsh student, one young lady from the coast of Northern Ireland herself, and then a number of Dutch students. I'll let them introduce themselves. They'll give their name and speak clearly and slowly and tell you their name and where they're from. And then they'll sing two songs back to back, In the Depths of the Sea and Jesus Passed By. And after that, we'll have a couple of these men come and share a report about the work in the mainland.
Hello, my name is Amy, and I'm from the Netherlands.
Hello, my name is Kaylee, and I'm from Italy.
My name is Shelby, I'm from Georgia.
Good evening, I'm Phoebe, and I'm from Austria in England.
Hello, I'm Galen, I'm from Ohio.
Hi, my name is Nathan, I'm from North Carolina.
My name is Lawrence, I'm from the Netherlands.
My name
Hey guys, peace out from Exit 7. My name is Garrett, and I'm from Ohio.
My name is Ruben, and I'm from Dallas.
My name is Joseph, and I'm from Dallas.
Hello, my name is Nathan, and I'm from the state of Kentucky.
My name is Chase, and I'm from Georgia.
My name is Susanna, and I'm from Georgia.
Thank you.
and Pastor Jared Clement to join me up here, if they would please. It's a privilege to be traveling with these men, and of course we couldn't really be here without Pastor Levi Mullins. He's our coach driver, so it's a privilege to have him and a necessity to have him as well. And Pastor Jared Clement and his wife joined us this morning, and they are currently ministering in the city of Liverpool. So I'll let them both share a little bit about the work that they're doing, but I've asked Levi to share an update about the work in the mainland of the Crown Christian Heritage Trust. And I know that we were here a year or so ago, but a lot has happened and a lot can happen in a year. So we'd like to give you just a brief update about the work that God is allowing us to be involved in England, Wales, and over the channel into Europe and even a little bit further afield as well. So come along if you would, Mr. Mullins. Levi is pastoring Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. Many of you will remember our dear friend and brother, Pastor James Zinker. And this is the church that Pastor Zinker pastored for a number of years before being called back to help out in Tennessee with Pastor Sexton. And many of you know the illness that took place with his little boy, William. And I do bring a report and greetings from the Zinkers. Little William is doing well. His brain and mind is as sharp as a tack. Of course, there are some ongoing difficulties with his neurological system, but we rejoice that he is learning how to live and cope with some of these difficulties. But please continue to pray for the Zinkers, if you would. They send their warmest greetings and love. But come along, Levi, if you would, and give these dear folks an update about the work of the Crown Christian Heritage Trust.
We're very thankful to be with you this evening, and we rejoice in what God is doing in the mainland there in England. And the scriptures say, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." And truly, we come tonight reporting of God's goodness and grace, and truly what God is doing and his hand in many different ways. We rejoice in God's continued work in church planting in England, and we're thankful to see over this past year, in just this last year, we saw three different churches beginning, and we're very thankful for that and the start of those. And one of those, we reported a bit about that last year when we were here on the outside of London, and began in February, and in a little area called Epsom. And maybe you've heard of the Epsom races, and we're thankful that that work has continued, and we've seen, and by the grace of God, souls saved, and that church moving forward with some of its first members in just the recent months. And so we rejoice in God's blessing there, as well as another church near there, but in a village of Surrey, Crowborough. And we're very thankful for a chapel that was there that God led us to that has been closed for quite some time. And the Lord opened the door to continue that work and those laboring there, and beginning with children's work and evangelism in the streets of that village. And we rejoice in a Sunday school that has begun there. And they had their first holiday Bible club just this past week, and many blessings from that. And we're thankful and that God has also led us north of in England to the northernmost city of Carlisle. And there was established Edward Street Baptist Church. And we're very thankful for God's blessing and seeing that work established and a Sunday school there growing now. And we rejoice in the opportunity and being the city that it is, and with open air work that continues there, and a great, unique opportunity in a city where many come to try to escape from maybe their normal surroundings and would get involved in sin in the city of Carlisle. And so they would travel north. And we're thankful that as they might come there, they'll find a faithful gospel witness there at Edward Street Baptist Church. So do pray for that work as it continues there in the northernmost city of England. We're thankful for these Dutch students that have been with us from the Netherlands, and it's been an encouragement. Some have been with us for nearly 3 years now, and we rejoice in their fellowship. But we're thankful for God's work in the country of the Netherlands. And about 6-7 years ago, God gave an opportunity for an English teacher that was from the Netherlands for his class in the state school there to be able to come to England. And he called Pastor Moreland and got the contact there at Oxford and said, "I'd like to put a spiritual spin on our trip. Could they come to your chapel and you share with them about the gospel and have your young people then talk to them about the gospel as well?" And it was a very special opportunity, and God really worked in that evening's meeting in a mighty way. And from that, the Lord continued. They continued to come over once a year, and maybe even twice a year. And what a blessing that was! And during that time, and it grew recently, and into an opportunity to go to the Netherlands and enter into the schools there. And with this open door, with a teacher that had a great burden for his students to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were able to go into the classrooms of the entire school and for a week straight and share the gospel. This was last year in May, and share the gospel in each one of the classrooms all day. And young people in tears and hearing clearly the word of God unto them and stirred in so many ways. And we're thankful for that. In September, it gave opportunity for and going to have a gospel mission once a month. And so we've been, different ones have been traveling over, and a team of folks have been going and once a month to have a gospel mission on a Friday evening in the Netherlands, as well as a Saturday morning teaching session. And so do please pray. We do not know the Lord's direction of how far he might take what God is doing there, but no doubt God's hand is working in the Netherlands in this way. And we rejoice in God's work through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just a few weeks ago, we were able to see a week-long gospel mission going in different towns and different places, and both the south and the middle of the Netherlands, and even as far as Rotterdam in the north. And we rejoice in this opportunity. So do please pray about this. And over COVID-19 time, no doubt it was a difficult time for many people across the world. And some countries suffered a little bit different than others. And I tell you this to say what God did do in a mighty way in one particular testimony. And there was a couple that were from, the gentleman's from Zimbabwe and his wife was from England. He was an atheist that were obviously living in there in Zimbabwe, and they ran a safari business and for many years. And during the lockdown, they were confined to a one-room space. And you say, what does that all have to do with the coming over here and all this kind of thing? And what is an amazing thing what the Lord began to do. And during that time, it was so difficult for them. His wife had a mental breakdown because of the confinement to that space and during that lockdown, and was able to come back to England where she was from and able to be with some family and different ones. And then during that time, and she was sent a little devotionals and that were and put out and on a regular basis by somebody you might know, by Reverend William McCray. And she would receive those, and God used that to speak to her heart, and she was brought back to the Lord and then began to send them to her husband that was no doubt in great need. And there he would hold his device out the window trying to get signal, and stuck in Botswana just over the border from Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. And he would hold it out and wait for hours to download just that short little clip and to get some encouragement. And God, through those clips, began to work in his heart about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through that, by the word of God, he came to know Jesus Christ by faith. And what a wonderful thing that was. And through that as well, they also were led to the online services of Oxford Baptist Chapel. And through those live stream services, they began to worship this way. And as soon as he was able to come back and rejoin his wife, they drove 3.5 hours to meet Pastor Moreland and to worship together with the church there in Oxford. And since then, Pastor Moreland had the opportunity to see them baptized, following the Lord this way. And we rejoice in God's continued work. About 6 months after that, and the gentleman came to Pastor Moreland and said, "You wouldn't be interested in starting a mission in Zimbabwe, would you? In Victoria Falls there?" And Pastor Moreland looked at him out of the corner of his eyes, and it'd be something we might be interested in. And we prayed over these things and sought the Lord about it. And 6 months later after that, and he said, "I'm going back to Zimbabwe, to Victoria Falls, to tie up some loose ends with our business, and we're staying here in England. Would you be willing to go and just see what maybe could be done?" And so a team of us were able to go over and this past December and to Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls specifically, the place where David Livingstone himself stood and his heart nearly and close enough is buried to there in Zambia. And there we saw the statue of David Livingstone right next to Victoria Falls where it was at. But more than that, we saw hungry souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord opened an amazing door, and God confirmed so many things through his word and the things that seemed for his eyes, where it almost seemed sinful if something wasn't done for the glory of God. And so by God's grace, there's a team of folks that are going back over in June to see a mission station established there, and Lord willing to see some pastors trained and many there, and they're trying to do something for the Lord, but they've never had any training at all. And seeking the Lord, seeking to know more and how to help their people and their village with the gospel. So pray with us as we seek to see churches established and folks trained there. But we rejoice in God's continued movement to the ends of the earth. This is our goal, that because it is God's goal, that all the earth may know. And as he said in Acts 1, verse 8, and he says, to the ends of the earth. It begins in Jerusalem, it does, but in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We rejoice being with you, and we praise the Lord for what great things God is doing.
Thank you, Pastor Mullins. It's good to have Pastor Jared Clemen and his wife and children with us as well. And Pastor Clemen planted the church in Liverpool, Breck Road Baptist Church. You may be familiar with that. And the Lord has blessed that work in a very special way. Recently, you may have heard that his church was able to acquire and purchase the pub next door. The pub came up for sale. And you can imagine we hear stories all the time in the United Kingdom of churches being sold and turned into pubs and nightclubs and mosques and other things. But what a victory to see a pub turned into a place of worship and used for the work of the Lord. So his church was able to purchase that pub next door. They're using it now for their children's work, and it's a ministry center, and God is blessing there in a very special way. We're thankful that they're with us. Mr. Clemen helps with the organization of a lot of our national outreaches and ministries and activities. So I've asked him just to give a very brief report about some of the work and the things that we do, the events we do together as a team across England and in the mainland there. So he's going to come along at this time and give us a brief update about those things.
Amen. Well, it's a real privilege to be here tonight, and what a wonderful thing to be co-laborers together with Christ. And it's wonderful to work and to be able to come together as a team and with the various different churches to put together events that benefit the evangelism nationally. And a few of those events that the Lord has led the Crown Christian Heritage Trust in starting is an event called the Winter Retreat. And the Winter Retreat is geared towards college and career age people, but it tends to branch out to just about anybody that you may not be college and career age in age, but in spirit. And we have a wonderful time. That's in Mid Wales. The Lord has provided a wonderful facility there. And this past year, the Lord brought in more than we've ever had. We actually got to the point where we couldn't hold any more in the accommodation. We had, I think, well over 250 people that were joined together and families that had come together for a week of preaching and teaching from God's Word. The Reverend Paul Hanna was there with us as well and did a wonderful job speaking. And we praise God for the opportunity that he gave. And we want to encourage you, please pray for that. Many people were challenged by God's Word. Several surrendered to the Lord's work full time, surrendered to go and do a bit more in what God was leading them to do, not just with things within the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, but also outside in various different churches and Sunday schools, and we praise the Lord for that. And then also people being saved in those meetings. And we want to encourage you, if you ever have an opportunity, perhaps you'd like to come and join us sometime. You'd be more than welcome. It's always during the half term in February. Another work that's coming up with the King's Coronation, and we praise the Lord for the opportunity for the gospel that provides, and I hope you pray for the King and pray for all those who are in authority, but really pray for this opportunity, the outreach. Millions will descend upon London, of course, I'm sure you'll know. We heard one person say that's a good time to be out of London, but we beg to differ. It couldn't be a better time to be in London as millions of people gather around. It's what an opportunity for the gospel. And by God's grace, the Lord has provided a church there. Westminster Baptist Chapel has allowed us to use their chapel to host a gospel meeting on that Friday, the Friday before the coronation, which will take place on Saturday. And so with God's help, on that Thursday in May, we're going to be going down, and a team of people, you can sign up online, going down to stay the night there in the Westminster Baptist Chapel, and go out on Friday and Saturday for evangelism. I was telling somebody as they were asking, well, how much is it going to cost? I said, well, it's going to cost £25. And they said, phew. I said, well, I don't think you could look, but you probably won't find cheaper accommodation in Westminster for the King's coronation. And I hope that if you can't come, pray for it. We have well over 10,000 John and Romans that will be going out, gospel leaflets, and please pray for the gospel meeting that Friday as well. And then another upcoming event that's coming up just in the summer, the Lord has blessed this over the years in a miraculous way, is a youth camp called Camp Victory. And God put it in the heart of Pastor Sexton and James Inker to start a youth camp back in 2011. And since then, it started at very humble beginnings with just a few teenagers that were coming at the beginning. And we have seen the Lord bless that work to just this last summer. We had over 400 young people that were coming through the property. We had to close camp for the first time ever. We actually had to turn campers away because we didn't have enough room to accommodate them. And during that week, young people are brought from all over the UK to come and to be challenged by the gospel, to be challenged in their walk with the Lord. And the Lord has blessed that. We have even people here tonight attending Crown Hall and who were converted at Camp Victory. And we have seen the Lord use that in a mighty way as people come, believers, not only 200 plus campers come each week, we have 2 weeks of camp, but also about 100 volunteers come, take time off of work, and their holiday is not spent somewhere in Spain. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but they take a holiday to come and spend it at Crown Hall and work at Camp Victory and clean dishes and do all those things, work with campers. But only eternity will reveal all of the great victories that we've seen there for the gospel. And I hope that you will pray for that. The Camp Victory this year will be the first week of August, will be our junior camp, and the second week of August will be our senior camp. The theme this year is fighting the good fight of faith. It's a World War II theme. And I hope you will pray for these upcoming events. And if you're able to, perhaps you might even want to come over and join us one time. We'd love to have you. And thank you for praying for us.
Thank you, gentlemen. We have a very special guest choir with us this evening. And it's a children's choir. Junior, you could say Junior Crown College Choir. They just happen to all belong to my family. So I'm going to invite them along at this time. And they've prepared a little song for you this evening. Come along, children, if you would, and take your place. And they'll be singing a song that is entitled, My Lord is Taking Good Care of Me. And I think they believe that. And not just sing it, but sing it from your heart as well. You may recognize some of these children. If they're good-looking, it's because of their mother. So if they sing well, it's because of their mother. So everything good about them comes from their mother. But I'm glad that they are willing to sing tonight, and I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing. You sing it as best as you can, children, okay?
I got up this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness is close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me.
I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I must be all measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
I'm counting my blessings as I journey along. Good friends and a family and a place to call home. The church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord is taking good care of me.
When Satan comes tempting and he brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The blood shed on Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord is taking good care of me.
I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I must be all measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I must be all measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking.
He's always taking.
My Lord is taking good care of me.
All right, please, and take your place. Well done, children. And the students will sing two more songs just before we open up God's Word together. It's Still the Cross and Complete in Thee.
Oh,
much. Let's take God's word together this evening. And briefly, I know our time is fleeting. Let's turn to the New Testament book of John chapter 9, if you would please. John chapter 9. And we'll read together just the first seven verses. John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. And we'll read together these seven verses and then pray and make a few comments and remarks from this text that we believe God has given us tonight. John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let's pray. Father, we are mindful that this book that we hold in our hand is thy word. It is not ours. We have not written it. And thus the interpretation of it belongs to thee. And we ask this evening that it would please thee to send thy spirit to open the eyes of our understanding, to not just give us understanding, but to apply it to our own hearts and lives, that what we read and hear tonight may leave a lasting impression upon us, that we wouldn't just be challenged tonight, but we would also be changed, that something would change in our thinking, in our feeling, in our lives, that would cause a ripple effect throughout all that know us and all we come in contact with. Bless now the preaching of thy word. Send unction from above, both to the preacher and the listener, and use this tonight for thy glory, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I'll draw your attention to that fourth verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We pulled up this afternoon to the front of this church and couldn't help but notice the clock just on the front facade of the building and the words above it, "Time is short." I don't know of a better reminder for us today than this. And there are so many things in life that have been sent to distract us. Not sent by Almighty God, but rather sent from the enemy of our souls. And these distractions serve as tools and instruments of Satan himself to draw us away from the work that we've been called to do. Satan is so clever, isn't he? And he uses so many methods and means to confuse us and discourage us from the work of Almighty God until we are rendered useless to God because we cannot even recognize the schemes of Satan. We're told, the Apostle Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices, but I think sometimes we are. A few of Satan's devices are given to us in Scripture. In 1 Chronicles 21, we're told that Satan provokes us. In Job chapter 2, we're told that he tempts us to curse God and give up. In Zechariah 3, we're told that he resists us. In Luke 22, we're told that he desires to sift us as wheat. John 13, we're told that he puts things into our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 11, we're told that he beguiles us through subtlety so that our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We see a lot of that today, don't we? Ephesians 6 says that he uses wiles or trickery against us. Ephesians 6:12 says he wrestles with us. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says he seeks to devour us. Revelation 12 says he's the deceiver. And Revelation 12:10 says he's the accuser. And so many other ways that Satan uses to attack us and distract us from the work of God. And the truth is, so many people today are ignorant of Satan's work. So ignorant that they become a tool in Satan's hand themselves. I wonder this evening, is Satan at work in your life and is he using you? Satan knows, probably better than most Christian knows, that God has chosen us to do the work of Almighty God. Think about that. I'll never quite understand it, that the Creator God of the universe who spoke and the world was created has chosen to use us who have been brought out of darkness and into light, who have passed from death unto life. God has chosen to take us, clean us up, and not just send us to heaven, but put us back into the same world from which he saved us so that we might be a testimony there. What a privilege. We're told in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 that we are laborers together with God. It's a privilege to work together like this. It's a privilege to share pulpits and to work together in evangelism and outreach and encourage one another in missionary endeavors. I've been so encouraged to hear about the team in Uganda and the work in other countries around the world. Nepal, what an encouragement to hear of what the Free Church is doing there. So many opportunities, the radio ministry, Let the Bible Speak, celebrating 50 years. So many wonderful things. But even better than working together is that we get to work with God himself. What a privilege. We're told in Mark 16, verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Do you know that privilege and joy of working together with God? There's a work to be done, isn't there? Jesus gives us these words, I believe, which should serve as a pattern for each one of us today. I must work. There's another occasion recorded for us in Scripture where the disciples came with food, if you remember, and Jesus said, I've got bread to eat that you know not of. I've got something to do, something to sustain me. I've got a work to do that must be done whilst I'm still alive. And I wonder this evening, do you recognize there is work to be done? Not just the fact that there's work to be done, but that every challenge and every difficulty and every obstacle is simply another opportunity to work the work of God. That's what we have here. A blind man, they didn't stumble upon it. Of course, Christ is omniscient, but they came across this blind man and they begin to ask questions. Who sinned so that this man was born blind? It's really a silly question. Really silly, because they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, it couldn't have been him because he was born blind. So it wasn't him unless he had been reincarnated, which of course is heresy. So how they could even ask such a question is beyond me. But nonetheless, they asked this question and Christ did not look at it as a problem, but as an opportunity. In fact, in the previous chapter, in the last verse, they took up stones to cast at him. They wanted to kill Jesus. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And in chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Think about that. Jesus was about to be stoned, killed. Instead of running for his life, he stopped. As he passed by, as the student sang a moment ago, as he passed by this blind man, he stopped. Because it was an opportunity. He didn't avoid it. He recognized he had a work to be done that had to be finished. And every hurdle, every arrow, every illness, every fiery dart ought to remind us that I have a work to do. Now, this statement has a context. The immediate context, I love this. The Bible says in verse number 1, Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Jesus saw what nobody else could see or what nobody else did see. Everyone else saw what a tragedy. Jesus saw what an opportunity. Christ understood that all of these miracles, all of these challenges were simply opportunities for the works of God to be made manifest. Why must we work? So that the work of God can be seen. Every time a child of God refuses to work the work of God, Every time a child of God misses the opportunity to work the work of God, then we also miss the opportunity for the work of God to be manifest. And that's what the world needs. The world doesn't need, somebody once said, the world doesn't need a new definition of Christianity, but a new demonstration of it. We might live it and work the works of God. We have been sent the same way Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We've been sent to work his work. Now look what he says. What is this work? Jesus tells us in verse number 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, you can begin right there. Your first work is that we might shine. Now, I wonder how many times people work alongside of us and never realize that we are actually born-again Christians. I wonder how long we can live next to a neighbor without them ever realizing and understanding there's something different about us. Christ told us in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Are you, Christian, tonight, are you acting as the light of the world? When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Here's your second work to be done. We ought to command people, compel people, push people to go wash, not in the pool of Siloam, but in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We sing it. The blood has never lost its power. We sing it sometimes. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And this ought to be our calling cry. It ought to be our motivation to push people to go wash in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's our work to be done. The Bible says he went therefore and washed and came seeing. Now look what else Jesus says in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. The more you understand that we've been sent, we've been commissioned, we've been ordained, we've been set apart to go, then the more urgency there should be behind us. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Here's simply what that means: now. That's what it means. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Now. I've got work to do, and it's got to be done now while it is still day. They tell me that Michelangelo worked on the statue of Moses with such fervor that he slept in his clothes and he kept a little bit of food at his side and ate a bite from time to time. But he was so determined to finish that statue of Moses that he never changed his clothes. Oh, that we would have the same kind of determination. Please keep changing your clothes, but I wish we'd have the same determination as Moses to labor with such diligence to see souls saved. They tell us that John Milton arose at 4 o'clock in the morning when his mind was fresh to do his best writing. We get that wonderful work, Paradise Lost, and many other wonderful things. John Wesley, same thing. When the church rooms were closed, when the chapels were closed to him, he decided to stand on the grave of his own father and preach the word because the hour was urgent. The need was great. I must work while it is day. Somebody once said, why put off for tomorrow what could be done today? In John chapter 11, just turn a page over in verse number 7. Listen to the words of our Savior. Let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou hither again? You can't go back, Jesus. They want to kill you. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And you can try to preserve your life. You can try to keep yourself safe. And you can wait to serve God when your bank account is fat and when you've got all your ducks in a row and then serve God. Or you can serve him while it's day, while you have time. We've got something worth living for. Paul warns the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Would you look here for a moment? It is entirely possible for you to receive the grace of God in vain. Do you know that? It is entirely possible for you to receive the grace of God, be born again by the Spirit of God, but receive that grace of God in vain because you never do anything with it. He says in the next verse, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You could not find a better time to serve God than now. If you're lost, you couldn't have a better time to be saved than now. God is a God of today, and Satan is the friend of tomorrow. Satan whispers in your ear. He says, "I don't mind if you give your life to Jesus Christ, but do it tomorrow." Satan says, "I don't mind if you serve him, just do it tomorrow. I don't mind if you give your all to follow the Savior, but not today, tomorrow." Scriptures tell us over and over again, we know not what a day may bring forth. "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain, for you know not what shall be on the morrow." You've heard the name Joseph Aline, one of the Puritan writers of the 17th century. He wrote The Alarm to the Unconverted. You may be familiar with that book. They tell me that he died at the age of 34 years old in 1668. Think about that. 34 years old he died because he worked himself to death. Doing what? Chasing after lost souls. They said he was insatiably greedy for the conversion of souls. There are a lot of people today insatiably greedy for money, for power, opportunity. Here was a man who worked himself to death because he was greedy for the conversion of souls. That's what we need. That's the kind of desire we need. That's the kind of urgency that is needed. And Jesus, again, in John chapter 4 and verse 31, says this, "In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat, he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." I don't know about you, but I'd hate to die with my work not being finished. I'd hate for Jesus Christ to return and I still had work to be done. "Say not ye therefore," listen to this verse, "say not ye therefore that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes now. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." We live in a generation where people are saying, "In 4 months' time, the harvest will be ready." And Jesus says, "Lift up your eyes now. The harvest is right now. Today I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." And why the urgency? Because the night cometh when no man can work. Now let those words settle down into the depths of your soul this evening. The night cometh. Night is symbolic of finality. The night cometh. The end is coming. A little while, just a little while left. Time is short. Sir Walter Scott understood this and had this text engraved upon the sundial in his back garden so that every time he was tempted to sit and relax in his back garden, he would be reminded that as he relaxed and took care of his body, which was important, he would also be reminded at the same time that the night is coming when no man can work. He got the idea from Samuel Johnson, the man who put together the first English dictionary. Samuel Johnson had a pocket watch with the Greek words, "the night cometh," so that every time he flipped the lid of his pocket watch, he would be reminded that there was a greater work to be done that could not be done once he was dead, so had to be done now. Do you live that way? Now, this isn't just about death. This isn't just about you breathing your final breath, which could happen at any moment. But this is about the night when no man can work, the night when all of creation's work shall cease, that terrible day of the Lord. And because we're nearer to it today than we've ever been before, we must labor with more urgency than the human race has ever seen. Very soon we shall never be able to do this again. Very soon, these ones outside the walls of this church shall never be able to hear this message again. This is not just about us doing our work. This is not just about you and I doing our work while it is day. It's about them having another opportunity to hear before it is eternally too late. This is about the day of reckoning. Ecclesiastes, we're given a couple of verses in closing. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, you'll be familiar. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest, where you are going. You catch that? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because you are headed for the grave, and when you get there, you'll never be able to work again. Solomon says in chapter 11 and verse number 9, he says very plainly, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." God has given us a measure of liberty. You can do what you want, but you will answer for it. You can spend the rest of your days doing whatever you want to do. You can sit on the beach and drink lemonade until Jesus Christ returns or until you die, but you will answer for it. You can enjoy your fast cars and enjoy your internet and your mobile phone and movies and all sorts of other things and waste your rest of your life on yourself, but you will answer for it. In chapter 12, verse number 14, the last words of the wisest man to ever live apart from Jesus, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So hear the Savior when he says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." David Brainerd said, Lord, let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am." That's the kind of prayer we need. He died before he was 30 years old. Some people say, I've heard people say very foolishly, I've heard people say, "Well, if he would have just taken care of himself, he could have lasted a little bit longer, and you know, God could have used him a little bit longer." That's the conversation and the thinking of this day and age in which we live. Take care of yourself rather than take care of the work of God. Let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. Let me forget the world and be swallowed up in the desire to glorify God. Time is running out. I know I'm not old, but as every year passes, I'm sensing more and more that time is slipping through my fingers. These words ring in my ears. A number of years ago, I read Frank Borum's account of Sir Walter Scott writing that text upon a sundial, and I mentioned in passing to some of our fellow workers that I'd like to have a watch that says, "The night cometh." Last Christmas, some of these men put together a watch, and I'm wearing it on my wrist today. And every time I look at my watch, I'm reminded, "The night cometh when no man can work." May God seal it in our minds, stamp it on our eyelids, so that we look at everyone and everything with that thought, that time is running out. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks unto thee for thy goodness and kindness to us, that we have been given another day, and we sense that time is fleeting. And help us to do what we can with what we have left. We ask of thee, Lord, apply these thoughts to our hearts. Banish the wicked one from us so that the seed cannot be snatched away. And let it bring forth fruit that would remain, that we might rejoice in heaven because we forever remember the words of our Savior, that we must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I'm aware that time is gone, so I'm not sure. Should we sing a closing hymn together? I'm looking for the Reverend. Let's sing it together. Hymn number 512, if you need to go, then you can do that. "Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. Let's stand together as we sing 512. Father in heaven, we praise and thank Thee for this evening together. We thank Thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Shepherd who died for us. And we pray that we might spend and be spent to Thy honor and Thy glory. That while there is anything worth being done in life, let us do it to Thy honor and Thy glory. Help us to see as Christ sees. Help us to feel with a heart of compassion as He does look upon the multitudes. Give us His heart, we pray. Change us and use us and help us to labor for Thee. Raise up more men like these who have died in the years gone by, spending their lives for Thy honor and Thy glory. Bless this church. Bless the minister and his family. Continue, Lord, we pray, to uphold and strengthen thy dear people here. And may we labor until we see our Savior's face. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.